Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Is he your everything? We sing he's our everything. Is he your everything? In my life, I have to ask myself, is he my everything? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of my best passions is flying in an airplane. I try to fly two or three times a week. Is he more to me than flying the airplane? Hallelujah. Is he more to me than going fishing, going camping? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, go ahead and have a seat. Go ahead and have a seat. Just rhetorical questions. Is he your everything? Hallelujah. We live a fun life. We have a wonderful life. We like to have fun. And, you know, quite honestly, I sometimes, you know, people say when they get to heaven, they got certain questions that they're going to ask God and they're going to ask Jesus. And sometimes I have to ask myself, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the apostles or I'm going to ask Jesus, what was he like when you guys were just hanging out in the garden or when you guys were hanging out? You know, did he tell jokes? You know, what was he like? You know, now I say that's what I'm going to do, but when I get to heaven, I'm probably going to be I don't know if I'm going to be overwhelmed or what. I'm going to be basking in glory. I don't know. What do you think? I grew up in Florida, and we used to go out to the beach, and we would bask in the sun in the beach. And I think when I get to heaven, I'm going to bask in just his love and his glory. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had a couple of things in my heart for the message tonight, and probably about last night they started getting settled, and I was typing down a whole lot of notes, and even on the bus right here I was finishing some of the notes, but I find myself asking myself a lot of questions. Maybe I shouldn't do that, but I do that to sort of do a check and balance in my own life. But how many times, or how many of you watch the news on TV, or perhaps you listen to the talk radio, or you may check out the news on the internet? You know, maybe you just Facebook. You go through Facebook and you look at the news posts that people put on there about all the doom and gloom and everything in the world, and you take it as the truth, because we know everything on the internet is true, right? Bonjour, it is. You had to have seen the commercial to know what I meant there. But again, lately the news reports about current events sounds a little bleak and a little gloomy, don't they? And, you know, our own political situation seems to cause us to spend more time in our prayer closet, or at least I hope that we spend more time in our prayer closet, because we should be praying for our leaders so that we can live a quiet and peaceful life and that our land can be healed. Amen? At least I hope that's what we're doing. But now with all this, we see in the media, and I know a lot of people seem to focus on the end time prophecies, and I must admit, I can get a little bit curious about that myself, and I do believe that Jesus, the return of Jesus, is going to be very, very soon. Amen. Sometimes I wonder how glorious it would be to be in heaven and be face to face and to be able to look in Jesus' eyes and just see what's been described as just pools of love. And to be able to have him to wrap me in his arms, and so I just feel how much love that he has for me. But I can't let myself get wrapped up to have my focus on the end times and the blood moons and the government's doing this and the other countries are doing that. I can't let myself get wrapped up into that. Sure, it's okay to stay up on current events like we should, but if I get wrapped up in that, I might change my focus. I might change my focus as to my purpose here on earth. You see, I can't allow my desire for the Lord's return to override his desire for me to run my race and finish my course. Amen? In the first chapter of Philippians, we can see where Paul was having a difficult time deciding between, is he going to go to heaven or is he going to stay on earth? And he was trying to decide if the flesh is where he should be at, or if he should be in glory as well. So in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, now I'm going to read through the King James Version, and every now and then I might throw in a New Living Translation. But from the New King James Version in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through 25, this is what I'm talking about. Paul says, "For me to live in Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Amen. Going to heaven is far better than being on earth, right? "Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all, for the progress and the joy of faith." See, what he's trying to tell the Philippians is there's a lot more that he can do on the earth for them, to minister to them, to be a blessing to them, is what he was trying to decide, to do that or to go to heaven. And so I believe he knew, Paul knew what his purpose was. And I believe that he knew that his purpose wasn't accomplished yet, that he had far more things that he needed to do. Amen. Several years ago, I heard a minister ask a group if they knew what their purpose was. Some of the people may interchange purpose and calling. You know, sometimes you think you know what your calling is. You may know what your calling is, but is it really your purpose? You may know what your purpose is, but is it your calling? And I personally think that purpose and calling are two different things. In Ephesians 1, verse 18, Paul prays that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you, or we could actually say we, may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And in Romans 11:29, for the gifts in the calling of God are irrevocable. The gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. And I like the New Living Translation here, where it says, for the gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Amen. It can never be withdrawn. They're irrevocable. And this particular scripture means a lot to me, because I knew what the calling on my life was when I was a teenager. I don't know that I quite knew what my purpose was, but I knew what my calling was when I was a teenager. And I spent many years doing just the opposite, doing other things than fulfilling the call that God had on my life. And then at one point in time in my life, I says, okay, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. And that was probably about 10 years ago. And But I was always concerned. I was always wondering, did I miss the opportunity? Did I miss what God had for me to do? Did I miss what I was supposed to do, where I was supposed to be, and when I was supposed to be there? And that's when I moved to Oklahoma, and I decided to attend Rhema Bible Training College. And this was in, I had decided it a couple of years earlier, but we actually moved here in the fall of 2007. And from 2000 from that time, I kept questioning myself. And really, I think what it was that the enemy kept saying, are you sure? You missed it. What are you doing? You should just go back to doing what you're doing. You made a whole lot more money doing that than what you're doing now. Amen. Not trying to be braggadocious, but after I retired and got a job, I was doing pretty good with a very, very healthy six-figure income. And my wife was working with her retirement from the military as well. And then we left that down to almost a nothing income. But I believe that this is what we were supposed to do. And just about a month or so after I got here to start attending school, it was really a whole new different testimony on how this happened. But I essentially got confirmation that not only was I supposed to be at Rhema Bible Training College, I was supposed to be there in the fall of 2007, and I was at the right place at the right time. And, you know, I allowed the enemy to play with my mind for all those years. And then again, he kept trying to play with my mind and saying, no, that's not right. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And this was September of 2007 when I got that confirmation. And it wasn't until February of 2008, I was talking to a friend of mine now who was an instructor at Rhema. And he brought this scripture. I never knew this scripture existed, believe it or not. I didn't know this scripture existed. And he brought it to my attention. And he says, Greg, you know when you're a teenager, God called you to the ministry. Don't worry about all the in-between stuff. You know that you're at the right place at the right time. Let's just march forward from here. Amen? So now if someone here feels as though they missed an opportunity, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and move on. Amen? I honestly don't know if this happened to Brother Hagin or if he was just telling a story. There might be others here that knows him far better than I that can confirm that. But nonetheless, I had heard that Brother Hagin has said that if you're in bed sleeping and it's in the middle of the night and somebody knocks on the door and you get up to go answer the door and you hit your foot or your toe on a nightstand or a coffee table or something and you fall down and you're in pain, do you just lay on the floor? No, you get up and you move on and you go see who's at the door. So as you go through life, if you think that you missed your opportunity, that's okay. Get up, brush yourself off, say, Father, I am sorry for doing what I thought that I was supposed to be doing, but now I'm going to go in this direction. Okay, I'm getting off track. Maybe it goes with it, but okay, so anyway, so if I'm talking about purpose and calling tonight, I thought that, you know what, let me grab a dictionary and see what the dictionary talks about between purpose and calling. And for purpose, purpose is the reason for which something exists or is done, made, used. An intended or desired result, the end, an aim, or a goal. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. That's what you are going after. That's the purpose, the goal. The purpose is what is at the ribbon crossing the finish line, that when you run your course and you break that tape, that paper thing that's stretched across the finish line, when you break that, that is your purpose. You've reached it. But calling is the vocation, the profession, or the trade in which one customarily engages in. That's your job. That's your hobby. That's what you do. That's what I believe is the vehicle that gets you, the road that gets you onto your purpose. Okay? So in other words, we can say that our purpose is our mission, that it is to be accomplished. And we can have multiple purposes in life, multiple missions. And our calling is the path or the vehicle that we use to travel in as we accomplish our mission. And again, like I said, such as your job or your hobby. And as I was studying and doing research for this, I was following the advice of Pastor Craig. He says, with God and Google, you can know anything. So I started Googling some things, and I came across this article, and I'm going to try to get through it and read it here real quick. But the article is, what is the difference between purpose and calling? And it starts out, and it says, we are products. God is the producer. We are created for a purpose. To accomplish that purpose, God gives us a means. The purpose is to glorify God, and the means is our calling. Purpose is more important than calling, but you can achieve your purpose without your calling. Calling is the road you take to get to the purpose. Purpose is the destination in Christ. We all have the same destination, but uniquely different roads to get to this destination. One team, one owner, one coach, one goal. The goal is to win the game and make their coach and the owner proud and bring them glory. But there are different players with different roles or different callings on the field. In soccer, one is a goalkeeper. Others are defenders. Some are midfielders. Others are attackers. Others are right and left wingers. Their purpose is to win and bring glory to the coach, the owner, and the nation. But the roles are different. We are all different pieces of a puzzle. We are shaped differently and fit in different places, but we have the same purpose. When God puts us together and solves the puzzle, He is glorified. Take, for example, the Honda Motor Corporation. And what this article does is it continues on and it talks about the Honda Motor Corporation, and I'm just going to summarize it a little bit. And it talks about how they make motorcycles. They actually make airplanes. They do. It's called a Honda Jet. It's a really cool thing. But anyway, they make little four-wheelers, and they make other sorts of vehicles. And the purpose of the company, the purpose of the vehicle, is to get somebody from point A to point B. And, of course, make a little bit of profit on the side. But it's to get people from point A to point B. But how many of you know that those vehicles are all constructed differently? Some have two wheels, some have four wheels. Some engines have so many horsepowers and some have other horsepowers. And the article continues and it says, let's just suppose that Mr. Honda, the guy who created the company, At the end of the world or whatever, he is sitting in the judgment seat and a motorcycle comes across and it says, did you fulfill the purpose that I have for you? And essentially, the motorcycle is supposed to do one thing. Did you do what you were designed to do, what you were supposed to do, or did you do what, I don't know, the airplane was supposed to do, or maybe the four-wheeler was supposed to do? And you know, within the automotive industry, it talked about that if a certain vehicle loses its purpose, or the purpose is no longer desired, then it's discontinued and they redesign it and it goes on. I hope we still have our purpose. I hope that we're not going to be discontinued, hypothetically speaking. Okay? But I'm here to tell you, you still have a purpose, you still have a calling, and God's not going to discontinue. Although He may be urging you, He may be trying to get you to do something. And if you're not doing something, if you're not following the leading of the Holy Ghost, He may have to task somebody else to do that until you get brought back up to speed to where you're listening and you're going forward and you're doing that. Amen? Hallelujah. So I'm going to try to skip through everything that I paraphrased and move on here. There are different callings or roles, but the same purpose or the reason for starting the company. The purpose is a general. Now, a person's calling is unique as their fingerprint. Each person is shaped or designed according to his or her calling. And reflecting on this amazing design that we each have, King David of Israel prays his God, saying, "You created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." We each have unique gifts, passions, talents, and abilities, personalities, and experience that shape us and make us uniquely suited for the calling that we have on our life. Each and every one of us have that purpose, and each and every one of us have that calling for us to get and fulfill the purpose. And when it comes to the purpose and the calling, remember this. We are called according to His purpose, God's purpose. In Him, we were also chosen or called, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. And that's found in Ephesians 1:11. And as I was reading that and as I was having this on my heart, one thing kept coming up. And is a couple of months ago, I had it was one of those conversations that, you know, you're in church and somebody comes and sits next to you and you start talking and the next thing you know, you realize you just got a little deep. And so another minister came and sat next to me and he just started out and he was asking more about my background, about me being in the military and what I did in the military. And we talked about that for a little bit there was a point where he said and for those of you who don't know, I was 21 years in the Marine Corps and I was in law enforcement. I was an investigator and deployed around the world doing fun things. And But he was asking me about those fun things, and a lot of fun things I couldn't tell him about, and some of them I gladly shared. But he says, you know, you seem to be a little bit confident. And I says, well, is that bad? Am I overconfident? He goes, no, you just seem to be confident. And I says, okay. And he says, why is that? Well, immediately, I guess that the best way that I could give him an answer is back in the 80s, President Reagan, anybody remember him? He was given a speech, and at one point in time in that speech, he said, many people live a lifetime wondering if they've ever made a difference, but the U.S. Marines don't have that problem. And when I shared that with him, he just looked at me and he goes, what do you mean? He goes, I can sort of see that, but what do you mean? What are you talking about? And I says, well, given the fact that every organization has that 10% that are problem children, and you have to work through that and do extra training or take them out back and explain things to them. But aside from that fact, I says, the Marine Corps, I says, we all go to boot camp, and I'd like to think that in general the military does this, but I'm specifically talking about the branch I served in, but we go to boot camp, and we're all trained to the same standards, okay? And so we all have the same ethos, the same understanding, the same whatever it takes to get through it type of a deal whenever, by the time we graduate boot camp. And then yes, we all go on and we do what we go to our MOS school, our military occupational specialty, the job that we signed up for, we go to that school. And my particular one was law enforcement. There's some people that go to administration school. There's some that go to intelligence school, cook school, motor transport, where they're driving. They're either driving or they're a mechanic. There's all sorts of jobs. Because as you know, if you go to combat, you basically have to support yourselves. So you have to have people that know how to do everything. But in the Marine Corps, we train that everybody is a basic rifleman. Everybody is basic infantry. Everybody is ready to go out there and fight regardless of what your job is. But we all still have a different job. And when you look at the mission of the Marine Corps, we talked about missions earlier. Your mission is similar to your purpose in life. And when you look and when you talk about mission and the mission of the Marine Corps, everybody is focused in the direction that you're supposed to go. We know the mission. We know that we have to accomplish that mission. And again, we may have multiple missions going on at the same time, but we have to accomplish that mission. And the administrative people, even if it's in wartime or if it's in peacetime, but the administrative people, they have the mission that they have to do. Because the mission they do is they keep the rest of the Marine Corps getting paychecks. You know, they keep the rest of the Marine Corps' records straight, so when it's time for promotion, they get promoted and they're happy. They're not disgruntled because we carry guns and you don't want us disgruntled. So they make sure our records are kept straight. The cooks make sure that we're fed. In boot camp, we had this one cook or this one recruit. And, of course, there's a certain phase in boot camp where the company commander comes in and he's supposed to motivate you. And the way he motivates you is he yells at you and tells you you're about the worthless group of whatever that he's ever seen in his life training Marines. And he's going to recycle us all and get us all kicked out. That's the way he motivated us. And he says, how many of you in here do not want to go to combat and fight for your country? This one particular recruit, and I won't say his name, he raises his hand and he goes, this recruit, sir. And of course, the series commander, the company commander, was a captain, and he come running up to him and yelling at him, you know, with like right there in his face. And he's like, what are you talking about? You don't want to go to the combat and fight for your country? And after about the 10 minutes of us, the rest of us are sitting back, oh, I'm so thankful that he's not yelling at me. And then he goes, what is your MOS? What are you going to do, recruit? He goes, sir, this recruit's going to be a cook, sir. And he goes, well, who do you think feeds our Marines in combat? You're going to be right out there and bullets are flying over. He fell to the floor crying. Anyway, I don't think he made it through boot camp. But anyway, we all have a purpose. Every single Marine, no matter what the job is, we had our job, we had our purpose, and we knew that we had to take the whole Marine Corps to accomplish the mission, and no matter what we did. And let me go back to my notes, because I got so excited talking about that, I almost forgot which direction I'm going with it. So if we go back to the question, and this is a question that he had asked me right after I got through telling him about, the Marine Corps and our mission accomplishment and how we're goal-orientated. And each individual Marine has that goal, that purpose that they know that they have to go towards. They're a little piece. And if they do it and they're working in concert with the rest of the Marine Corps, we go through and we're the best fighting force. But anyway, I have to go back to the question that he had asked me. Does the church know our purpose? So he looked at me and he asked me that, and I said, no. And he says, I agree with you. And then the clock countdown worship started. He goes, I got to go, and he got up and went and sat down. But if you think about that, does the church, and I'm not talking about Rhema Bible Church, Oklahoma City, I'm talking about Christianity, the church as a whole, do we know our purpose? As individuals, there are probably some individuals that know their purpose, and they are fulfilling the call that God has on their life, so they can fulfill the purpose, so they can finish the course. They can run their race and finish the course. But as individuals, I think as a church as a whole, I don't think we know our purpose. And what my hope is, if you know what your individual purpose is, you can pray and help the rest of the church get to that, their ultimate purpose. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So I'm talking a lot about purpose. What is purpose? What is our purpose as Christians? I believe that there's at least two things. There's a minimum of at least two things that is in our purpose. And what I hope you guys do is throughout your daily lives, ask yourself, what have you done today to accomplish the purpose, to fulfill the calling that God has on your life? I believe the first one is we're here to worship and glorify God. Amen. He made us. The scripture before, he says that he made us beautifully and wonderfully. He made us to worship him, to glorify him. Everything that we do brings glory to him. What kind of reputation are you leaving for God? I don't want to sound mean or harsh, because honestly, I'm going to be totally transparent with you guys. I'm asking you these questions because these are questions I ask myself. And if the answer that I give myself is not a satisfying answer to myself, I have to make changes and corrections in my life. So please, if you think I'm stepping on your toes, I'm not. I'm walking around barefooted, and I get my toes stepped on by myself all the time. So again, we are here to worship and glorify God. And in Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. He made us to glorify him. Hallelujah. The second purpose, the second thing that I believe, the second person purpose that I believe we as a church are here for is very simple. Get people born again. Amen. So they can glorify him. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Acts 26:16 says, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. and He reveals it through the Holy Spirit. John 15:16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you." And that's what Paul was talking about when he was talking to the Philippians. And he said that it's beneficial for you because me staying on earth will bear fruit. Bear fruit to the Philippians or bear fruit to others. And us being here on the earth for the purpose that we have is to bear fruit to others. I mentioned earlier tonight that I can't allow myself to focus too much on the end times prophecy and lose sight of my purpose or my overall mission as a Christian. Because a lot of what I'm hearing is I hear people say, "God, please send him soon. Lord Jesus, come back soon." You know, the word says no man knows when he's coming back. But I'm a man, and I'm going to give my best answer as to when Jesus is coming back, because I believe I know when he's coming back. And it's found in Matthew 24:14. Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel to the kingdom will be preached in all the world as witnesses to all the nations, and then the end will come." Do you want Jesus to come back soon? Then break out Matthew 24:14 and do everything that you possibly can to fulfill that scripture, because that's our second purpose. And by fulfilling the second purpose, to get people born again, we glorify God, which is the first purpose that I talked about tonight. Amen? How do we do this? Through the calling that God has on us. Are you behind the pulpit speaking? No. Do you travel around the world to foreign countries and preach the gospel? Maybe not. Are you involved in the local church and you're helping out and you're trying to do what you can to be a blessing to people as they come in, to the first-time guests as they come in? That's a good place to start. When we're at work and we happen to be walking down the hallway and we look over and we see somebody sitting at their desk and they just got their head in their hands and they're pulling their hair, and I'm not going to do it because I don't want to mess up my flat top. But they're pulling at their hair. Do you come over to them and say, "What's wrong? Can I pray with you about something?" It's very easy to do this. Because when you engage yourself in conversations with people, and this is a step of how you can fulfill the purpose. When you engage yourself in conversations with somebody, well, let me back up. What I do when I pray, and this is not a formula, this isn't a 12-step example of how you can be more of a blessing to others. This is just what I do, okay? And I recommend that you do it. It's a place to start. And it actually happened by accident one day. I was walking around my living room and I was praying. And what just came out was, "God, use me to love people. Use me to love your people," is what actually came out. Well, I like that. So I started incorporating my prayers and I says, "God, use me to love your people. Use me to be a blessing to your people." You know, when you start praying that, he's going to give you opportunity. So it's not that difficult. You don't have to go out. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, I really don't know where I read this at. It was his biography or it was a book or it was something about Smith Wigglesworth. But he used to sit out on a park bench. And that was back in the days when it was carriages and horses and stuff like that. And he would sit on a park bench and he would say, "Okay, Lord, Which one? Who do I talk to today? Which one do I talk? Is that it? Is that who I talk to?" And I think in the story what it says is he just ran up and jumped up on a carriage anyway and started preaching the gospel to him and somebody got born again. But you know, you don't have to do that. You know, another thing I like to do is and I challenge you to do this too, because it will make a difference. And And you know, Christmas is right around the corner and malls get a little bit busy about this time of year, don't they? Go sit in the mall. If you drink coffee, I don't know, there's probably a Starbucks in there. Go to a restaurant, something. Take in your own bottle of water. But go sit in the hub, in the center of the mall where everybody focuses and they go back and forth. And you got the escalators and the elevator and stuff. And you're sitting right there and you're just looking at people. And you say, Father, or you just look at people and you say, God loves that person. Therefore, I love that person. You can even change it up and just look at them and say, I love that person. I love that person. And you know, it don't matter what they're wearing. It don't matter how many tattoos they have or how many piercings they have. It don't matter how they're dressed or anything like that, because God don't care. And just say, I love that person. You know what's going to happen after doing that several times? Your outlook towards people in general is just going to be totally awesome. Amen. So anyway, what I challenge you to do is just pray and just say, Father, use me to love people. Use me to be a blessing. And you know, you don't have to do like Smith Wigglesworth and sit on a park bench, and although you can. But you know, opportunities are going to come. And you know, this is a very good gauge to go by. If you're sitting there and you're talking with somebody or you're engaged with somebody, or let's just say you're just sitting there, you're just kicked back and they're sitting over wherever doing whatever. And all of a sudden you just get an inkling to go talk with them or go pray with them. I can almost with 100% certainty guarantee that it's not the devil telling you to go over there and talk to the person. Amen. I'm pretty certain it's the Holy Spirit saying they need what you have. And if you ask yourself, do I have what they need? God's not going to send you on that mission unless you don't. I'm pretty certain that each and every one of you's got enough inside of you to give to them. Amen. You know, a couple of years back, when I was going through flight school, I guess I was good in math when I was younger, but then when high school became a social club, I didn't get into the algebra and all that stuff. So here I am, I'm in college again, and I'm taking another math class. I barely squeaked by in statistics a few years earlier. And so I'm back to school again, and I'm taking a math class in Tulsa Community College. And the teacher who was, I'm 50 now, so I was probably about 45, 46 at the time. And the teacher wasn't much older than me, if I wasn't older than her. And just when I walked into class one day, she goes, hey, Greg, after class, can you stay? I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what have I done now? We only took like one quiz, and I think I got an 80 on it or something. I'm okay. You know, is my homework that bad? And you know, I sort of wondered about that, you know, periodically throughout the class that day. And then when class was over and people started, you know, winding out, she says, hey, Greg, she goes, I need to talk with you. And she sounded serious. And emotionally, my heart started thumping and I'm like, oh my goodness. is she just going to go ahead and fail me now to save me the time? And again, this was about 4 years ago or so, 4 or 5 years ago. And she says, do you remember last week the fella at the courthouse that started shooting up people with a gun shooting? I says, yeah. She goes, I have a student that was her uncle. I'm like, wow, okay. And then her aunt has got some really big issues. Okay. And she goes, I have another student that they have a relative that was just diagnosed with something really bad and it doesn't look really good. And I'm like, okay. And she says, I know you're a man that prays. Can you pray with me? And I'm like, oh my goodness. How did that happen? How did I not see that one coming? But you know, as she was talking, I had the sense that, you know, I'm going to need to pray here. And I think I've shared before that I had a next door neighbor down the street. He's a rough around the edges character. He goes to a denominational church. And I'm doing some work in the yard and trying to get some things taken care of. And I got a schedule. I got to get to class that night. And just inside, I got go down and talk to, and I got his name. I said, I don't want to go talk to him. I got blah, 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 blah. I'm making up excuses. And he's like, no, go talk to him. Okay, I'll go talk with him. And I'm down there and I'm talking with him and he's talking. And all of a sudden, he just looks at me and he goes, I got a question. I says, yeah. He goes, what is it about this Holy Spirit stuff? Well, in a matter of about 5 minutes, I was able to educate him, lay hands on him. He got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, right there in the driveway while his neighbor across the street was mowing the grass, looking the whole time. Amen? A couple more stories. But these are examples of how that it can happen in your life. I'm in my garage. One of the springs broke, and I certainly know how to replace springs. I've replaced them before in my house in Maryland, but I just didn't have time to do it. I had other honeydews that I had to do, and again, I'm going to school, and I got work to do. And you know, by the time I get a hold of the spring and pay for the spring and everything, it's just a few bucks more for them to come out and install it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. So they come out and install it. And long story short on this one is I'm in a garage talking to the guy instead of doing my other stuff, listening to the woes of his life while he's installing the spring. And the whole time, it was probably 20 minutes, I'm sitting there listening to him. The whole time is, you're going to pray for this guy before he leaves. And very simply, I just said, hey, can I pray with you? Yeah, I can pray with you. You know, for a short time, I took a temporary job. I was doing background investigations for people who had government security clearances. And this was, again, all this is within the last few years. And so, you know, I have to do what they call area canvassing. And you go around to where the person used to live and you knock on doors. And you say, did you know so-and-so? Were they a goofball? Are they okay? Of course, it was a little bit more professional questions than that. But, you know, I'm talking to this lady and she's in a wheelchair. And she's got a couple of medical issues. And the whole time I'm interviewing her, I'm just getting inside. You need to pray with her. So when the interview was over with, and those interviews only took like 10 minutes, and I said, can I pray with you? She broke down in tears and she goes, I have been wanting somebody to pray with me for months. And you know, God just loved her. Walking through the mall, I have my grandson. Dippin' Dots is good ice cream, you know. So we get our Dippin' Dots, and we go over, and we're sitting by the store, and we got this little bench right there, because how many of you know, he was 7 at the time, he's 8 now, but he was 7 at the time, and how many of you know, a 7-year-old walking in a mall with Dippin' Dots is not that, you know, good. So we got him sitting down and sitting still. And there's another fella came and sit on the bench. He literally just sat there. What did I get? Ask him how he's doing. Okay, Lord. So I says, hey, how you doing? He goes, not too good. He goes, we're here from out of town. My wife has checked into the Cancer Treatment Center of America. And of course, he painted the picture that didn't look very well. And then as his wife and his daughter was walking up, I'm like, can I pray with you? He's like, yeah, we need prayer right now. Praise the Lord, without prompting, my grandson just reached over. And just started praying for the guy. Bring up our children the way they should, right? So I said all that to say, if you make it part of your prayer life, God will bring the people to you. You don't have to go looking for them. Amen? He will bring them to you because he counts you faithful and he knows you're trustworthy. He knows that you will do what he needs you to do when the time comes. And one little bit of warning, most of the time it's never convenient. It's going to happen when you don't want it to happen. How many has experienced that already? It's going to happen when you don't want it to happen, and you're in the middle of doing 9 different things in 8 different locations, and God wants you to pray with somebody. I'll start to close with this. Last Monday, I'm out in my yard and just mowing the grass, doing whatever I need to do. And there's a guy across the street, and he's older. And I saw him when he first moved in, I don't know, about a year ago, but they're almost like a recluse. They just stay in their house. And of course, you know, I really just didn't take the time to go over and knock on the door and say, hey, how are you doing? When they first moved in, probably within the first couple of days, I made a point to meet with him and talk with him and everything. But anyway, Monday, he comes shuffling out to the mailbox and checked the mailbox. Got his mail. Started shuffling back to the, no, this was Saturday, last Saturday, a week ago yesterday. He was shuffling back to his house, and I'd looked over at him, and I was putting some stone. I'm redoing my landscaping, and I looked over at him, and then he was started shuffling back, and then I turned around, and I looked back, and he was shuffling back, and he had his mail, and I'm like, what did he do? Is he putting his mail back in there? Is it the junk mail he don't want? He's giving it back to the post office? I don't know. And he's barefoot, and he stops, and he looks both ways, and he starts shuffling across the street. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go meet the guy because obviously he's coming over to do something. And as I get up and I'm walking across the street, I started getting, you're about to pray. You need to pray for him. So he explains to me about how he's got a condition where his brain produces too much fluid. And this last Wednesday, They're going to do a procedure to run a tube from his brain into his intestines to drain the fluid and put another hole in his skull to vent it all out. And that's probably more information than you wanted to hear. But the bottom line is, he says, I want to know if you would pray with me. He goes, I need prayer. And he says, I believe that you're a person that goes to church and you know the Lord and you pray. And really what he did is he says, the surgery is going to be on Wednesday. He goes, I just want to know if you'll remember me and keep me in your prayers for the next couple of days. And I just looked at him. I says, well, you know what? Let's just go ahead and pray right now. And he looked at me, and he had this excitement in his face. And I laid my hands on him, and I prayed with him. And of course, in Jesus' name, amen. He's like, praise God. He goes, this surgery is going to be awesome, and it's going to be good. And of course, you got to meet people where their faith is. And his faith at that time is he was going to have the surgery, and it was going to be a successful and quick procedure. Amen. And yet, how much do you think he was blessed, and he knew that God loved him when he was walking back to his house? I even think he had a little bit of pep in his shuffle that he was going back. A little bit of balance issues there with the brain, the fluid and everything. So he was walking slow, but he had a little bit of pep in his step. So I just want to challenge each one of you guys. I'll go ahead and close with this. And I just want to say, you know what? Know the difference between a purpose and a call. Know that the purpose is the ultimate goal, the end result that you want to reach. That when you get to heaven, God's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You finished the race. You've run your course. Your calling is just what you do to make that happen. You don't have to be a minister. You don't have to be a traveling evangelist. You can be a truck driver. You can be a cattleman. You can be a firefighter. You could be retired. But as long as you're alive and kicking on this planet, on this earth, God can use you, and God will use you if you're a willing vessel to be used. And I just want to encourage each and every one of you to do that, to know your purpose, to know your calling, to do what you need to do to reach that purpose with the calling that God has on your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody, just go ahead and bow your heads. Father, we love you. We glorify you. We thank you. We give you praise, and we give you honor for every glorious thing in our life, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Father, I pray over everybody here within the sound of my voice that that you guide them and lead them, that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to them as they seek you, as they seek that, as they desire to seek you, as they pray and as they ask you to help them be a blessing and to love everybody, to love each other. I pray that you bring people across their path, Father. So many times we pray that Father, bring somebody my way. Bring somebody to be a blessing to me. Bring somebody across my path that will do whatever. But Father, I recognize right now, and I believe we all recognize, that just as we say those prayers, there's a lot of people out there praying the same thing, and we are an answer to their prayer. Just as we seek answers to our prayers, Father, we recognize that we are an answer to others' prayers as well. Now, if there's anybody in here that says, you know what? I can't do that. I can't be a blessing to people. I don't have that purpose. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my call is because I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If you want to do that tonight, if you want to receive Jesus, if you want to be what was called born again, you want that new birth, you want to receive Jesus, just ever so quietly slip your hand up. Hallelujah. If you say, you know what, I am born again, but you know what, just like you, I knew what my calling was, and I sort of just did other things for a while, but you know what, I need to go in that direction. I need to get back on that path, and I need to start living that life for God. And yes, I can continue doing my profession and my career, but I need to seek my purpose even further. I want to rededicate my life tonight. If you would, just raise your hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. You know, you can say I've heard a lot about this Holy Spirit, about the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the speaking in tongues. And if you want that experience, if you want to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit tonight, just go ahead and raise your hand. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. You know, why don't everybody just go ahead and stand? If you raise your hand, if you wanted to raise your hand, if you should have raised your hand, just come on up here. Be bold. Because you know what? Everybody else has done it before. If you want to rededicate your life, if you want that, come on forward. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else want to rededicate their life tonight? The infilling of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and raise your hand to heaven and just repeat after me. Just say, Father God, I love you. I'm your child. I received you before. And I know you're still alive in me. I may have gone a different direction, but Father, I want to get back to the path that you have for me. I rededicate my life to you. And I want to live a life for you as I promise to seek you and to seek your face. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, folks, for being here tonight. Next week, honestly, it's either going to be myself or it's going to be Pastor Craig. I really can't tell you one way or another, but it depends on how his wife Mia is feeling. We're believing that she's getting healthier, she's getting stronger, she's having a speedy and quick recovery. But if she just needs him to stay home an extra week, well, then you know what? We'll go ahead and scrape the bottom of the barrel and say, you know, Greg's going to speak again. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't forget, if men, we have our Call to Arms conference. If you want more information about that, come and see me after service tonight. We're going to have our fourth anniversary at Pops, so make sure you come up here and sign up for that. I need to let Pops know how many people to expect. And other than that, he's going to sing a song. We're going to have a great week and be a blessing to many people. Amen? Hallelujah.